Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Chat, IGN's Destiny podcast. I am Jose Otero, an associate editor here. I'm joined by Alfredo Diaz.
Hello, Guardians.
And I'm also joined by Destin Laguerre.
Hello, everybody.
So let's begin with what was the coolest thing that happened to you this week in Destiny? Destin, why don't you go first?
Okay, so something that happened to me that was really cool is I finally got to run the hard raid, and my warlock finally got the chess piece he needs to hit 32. Okay. After running it every week since launch, I actually missed 1 week because I was at PAX South, and like it launched in the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I got the chess piece. I still have to run it with my Titan. If he gets arms or a helm, then I'm set.
Nice.
So, very nice. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Alfredo?
Sorry.
Alfredo's excited.
I ran the raid 3 times on hard with my fire team, and before we started the first raid, I kept saying that watch no one get the crux, watch no one get that drop. And then they really hated me because they were like, Alfredo, you're jinxing us all, like we're screwed.
Yeah.
And then on my third hard raid for the week, I got the Abyss Defiant AR, which I needed. Okay. Then I got the helmet, which is what, the Unyielding. So that's for the Hunter. Got that. And I got the Crux.
What?
Yeah.
RN Jesus finds a way. He does. Or she does.
One of my fire team members was so mad.
Okay.
And he just like shut his Xbox off right away.
Jumped, oh, really?
Yeah. Jumped back on Smite. And then I mean, we had a whole bunch of people watching. And then I told everyone in Twitch chat to throw some like the salt emote. And we just saw that flooding the chat just to make it even worse.
That's
very nice. So that was fun. Also, though, I got the No Land Beyond. That is the fifth or sixth No Land Beyond my fire team has gotten in the past
really?
2 weeks.
What? Yeah,
between all of us.
Okay. Interesting.
Best sniper
interesting.
In the game.
Yeah.
To dismantle.
I don't know. Yeah. That was really good. All right. Yeah. So this week, I had a crappy week, actually, in Destiny. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, specifically why, but we were unable to beat Crota. And I'll go into reasons why
hard,
later.
Normal?
Hard. It's a pain. But there were some other circumstances involved, which I'm saving for later. So I stopped playing Destiny for most of the week. I actually did not pick up the game again until last night because I was like, man, I'm on a Destiny podcast. I need to probably play Destiny this week. And so I saw some friends playing Vault of Glass. I decided to join them. And we take down Atheon. It was a couple of first timers there. It was just Vault of Glass normal. Mm-hmm. And guess what drops?
What?
Hawk Moon.
You son of a...
The entire room turned on me the second I said, holy cow, I got Hawk Moon.
I want that gun.
Yeah.
PlayStation exclusive. Sorry.
Yeah,
no,
sorry.
I have a 21 character. I'm getting yeah. up there. Don't worry. There.
Oh, so you're but going through what we're doing on Xbox, where we're like in the 20s and we're struggling, but yeah, on Xbox One, that's your spot.
PlayStation 4. Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. Because I have a lot of people that always watch me every night, and they're always like, oh, like, show the PlayStation Nation some love. I'm like, guys, yeah. I have a 21 Warlock on there. I can jump back on.
Do you want to watch me grind through the story? And
you know? So now I'm just grinding marks in PvP with, like, my viewers and stuff.
Okay,
so
okay.
Yeah, pretty chill.
Cool. Yeah, so I'm really excited. It is, what, the best hand cannon in the game?
It is the... I mean, yeah, it's the best PvP weapon in the game.
Okay.
Like, you can instantly just kill someone.
Isn't it also useful in PvE? My understanding is it can go both ways with this one, or not really?
I mean, I've only seen it used in PvP mm-hmm. from, like, fellow streamers.
Okay.
And it's just, it's a, like a mini sniper.
Got it.
I think it's so stupid.
Yeah, based on how I've been using it, it just does that. All right, cool.
So, wait, we didn't talk about this for the show, but during the conversation, I kind of came up with a topic.
Oh.
Which raid is better?
Oh.
Vault of Glass or Crota's End.
So you're talking about experience, not drops. So let's
not
make sure
drops,
we establish the
drops,
criteria.
Nothing like
here.
That. Just which do you find you enjoy more?
I
as an experience.
So I enjoy Crota more just because it's like it's something you can jump in. It's like mm-hmm. a race to the finish. Like I can't mm-hmm. deal with the oracles of Vault of Glass anymore. My patience is not there. Mm-hmm. Although I do believe that the Vault of Glass is a more intricate raid. That's like what a raid should be like, right? Like it's a lot of things going on.
Yeah,
you gotta solve things. But I mean, I do like the mixture between the two, right? You have Vault of Glass, which is more like, you know, run, get to a spot, you know, do the puzzle and get past it.
Well, and even
Crota,
like, yeah,
it's just like sprint to the finish, which is awesome.
But they both rely on teamwork, but they do it differently. Like especially during the boss fight, like with Atheon, getting the team separated the way that they do forces both sides to be very careful because you can wipe based on that. Whereas with Crota, you're not separated, but if your sword bearer goes down or if people start going mm-hmm. down,
you're punished.
You're punished that way instead. Whereas it'll lead to a wipe, but it's not an automatic wipe. Like whoever's inside the time gate, if they're not shooting orbs correctly, it's a wipe. Like there's just no chance, right?
Yeah, I do believe Vault of Glass has better mechanics, but I do like just having to sprint through the raid.
Oh man,
which is Crota.
I have it. It's just so hard for me to choose. Which one do you think?
Personally, for me, hands down, Vault of Glass is the better overall experience. You have that intro where you need like three groups of two, or maybe one guy up top. And the extra helping one of the sides, you know, you open this big door and like you run forward. There's this whole experience.
I think Crota's entrance
it.
Is more epic.
Crota does have a good entrance.
Dude, searching around through the
is
dark
kinda,
is
yeah.
so
just building
cool.
the bridge and you're just like, I remember for the first time, it was the bridge is building and then we all started running and you jump down. We're just like, oh my god,
and the first time,
let's go.
Yeah, and the first time you see a pit or someone fell through that, like there's a lot of little obstacles that they thought of around the idea of like just scrambling and trying to make it through such a dark space. Mm-hmm. I think the Abyss and the Bridge are the two best parts of Crota. Like, hands down, those are my two favorite moments from that, but then everything else falls a little flatter to me.
I know a lot of people find it annoying in Vault, but I actually do like the maze puzzle and getting through that. Like, you do wipe a few times, and Gorgons. There's ways they could have improved it, but I still like that experience.
I like that part.
Like, oh, we got to stick together. We got to do this right. We got to do it perfect. And then the jumping puzzle, getting across there is, like, really rewarding, and it rewards you for good platforming, and it is so fun to watch noobs do. It's
funny watching people go through that part.
Yeah. No.
It is so entertaining.
I agree. Yeah. So which one do you settle on? Do you pick?
Definitely Vault of Glass. I just have fonder memories of that. Like, even when it was bugged out to heck, like, I mean, there's still memories tied to that and getting the Flawless Raider on that raid at a higher level. And just going back and playing it again, like, I just like, oh, man, I really enjoyed this.
I go Resident Sleeper on that.
Well, you've done it so many times, you have it down to, like, a science, you know? So.
Yeah. No, I think I'm with Dustin on this, and just that I think Vault of Glass, I definitely respect Crota and enjoy Crota a lot, especially the first two sections. I mean, I love the bridge section. When I finally did it the way it was intended, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I have to, you know, you have to hold these plates down and get a sword bearer across, kill the gatekeeper, that kind of stuff. But I do like, okay, so Volta Blast does get sluggish. Like, the Oracle stuff does get a bit like, ugh, this is a lot of babysitting, a lot of sitting around and sort of patrolling certain areas to just make sure you're taking out these orbs or these Oracles. But the fight with Atheon especially is such a climax compared to the fight against Crota to me. Like, when the separation happens and you got people going, okay, we're on Venus. Everyone goes, all right, everybody knows what they got to do. Like, that's cool to me.
Even the section before that,
the music with Crota.
Yes.
The music. I think we can all agree the Crota music is the best.
Yeah, the minute you grab the sword.
I completely see the argument for Volta Glass, though. The mechanics on that raid are awesome.
And respectfully, I can see the argument on Crota, especially the last fight. Reminding me of the music is the best part, because when we're all in position and everything's working out, so good.
Yeah, so good,
no question.
Maybe it's just like rose-colored glasses for me, like, thinking back, because right now hard raid is so difficult that I don't really get as much enjoyment out of it.
Well, you know? And I gotta say, though, last thing before I guess we move on to the next part of this topic, is that there is something interesting about the entire team DPSing that shield and watching one person get across, and all of your hopes are on that guy's performance.
Yeah.
That is a moment that I don't think I see in a lot of games. Like, you're putting it all on, basically, that guy's your all-star for the most part in that moment.
Yeah, I've done that. It's like, so you're MVP, you know, you made it to the end. But with Vault, it's like, oh, you're holding us up.
Yeah.
Like, figure out the puzzle.
Yeah. It's more team success.
I've done Crota's end 90 times already, and I've only held the sword like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still like, wait, what? And let me tell you guys right now, and that's simply because I was one of the two people on my team who had a Galley 2.0. I had to be shooting rockets every time for my team.
Makes sense.
I still, to this day, like, I know what to do. Like, I know the best combo, right? I know the timing. I just haven't done it enough to really get it down to like a T. But
okay,
yeah,
got it. All right, so then let's talk about Destiny's Dark Below exotics. Are they a disappointment? That's the question. So the exotics, let me just lay this out for folks, are Dragon's Breath, which is a heavy weapon, rocket launcher. No Land Beyond, which is a special weapon, a sniper rifle. Famously one of like the more controversial weapons, I think, in Destiny right now. Necrochasm, which is finally a thing with Crota Hard Mode. Someone got a crux in this room, and he's feeling pretty good about it. And lastly,
we'll talk about the weapon.
And then there's the Fourth Horseman, which is a PS4 exclusive exotic that is a shotgun.
It's on PS3 too.
I can't speak of the Fourth Horseman, but No Land Beyond. Mm-hmm. I mean, I own these weapons simply because I like to collect exotics.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, should I buy like Dragon's Breath right now? Like, currently at this moment of the recording, Zer's up there with Dragon's Breath. A lot of people are like, should I buy it? I'm like, well, you know, if you want to collect it, or even if you think you might, because I never thought I would collect exotics. Now I'm collecting all of them, right? So I missed out on, like, Red Death. But anyways, like, yeah, so No Land Beyond is horrible.
It is absolutely awful.
It is probably the worst.
But explain what makes it awful for folks. Like, is it just a single shot reload?
Super low fire rate, horrible scope.
Low damage rate, replaces a primary.
But it's a primary.
It replaces your primary, your main damage dealer.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's like,
that's a problem.
I'm not advocating for it.
It's horrible in PvE. We only use it in PvP when we just want to mess with the other team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just an all-around just terrible.
Did you ever see that video on Reddit that was like, No Land Beyond is the best weapon in the game?
Yeah.
It was like professional sniper on a close course.
Yeah.
And just taking people out. It's hilarious. You have to see it. But
So then there's that. And Dragon's Breath is—it's not a bad weapon,
but what outranks it? Gjallarhorn, Hunger of Crota. We were talking about this earlier today.
Yeah. I would take Heezen's Vengeance.
Heezen's Vengeance.
Heezen's Vengeance, whatever.
Yeah.
One-way ticket, maybe, because it has tracking.
Yeah. So I mean,
and that none of those, like, some of those aren't that great. And they're outranking this exotic?
I mean, the thing about the Dragon's Breath, because I was like one of the first people to get that gun, and a lot of people were just like, what is it like? Is it good or not? I mean, yeah, you do get an upgrade that's 3 in the chamber, so that's awesome, right? And it does shoot, and when it hits this target, it creates like this fireball, right?
Small fireball.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
The fireball is small.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it doesn't last very long at all.
Yeah.
And in most scenarios, I shoot it, it hits a boss, and he just walks away from it.
But oh, yeah, because they're programmed to do that.
Yeah.
Like, just not
to
sit there.
Just to put some context, though, it's not that you're advocating that it needs to be better than Gjallarhorn. You're not saying
no.
That. You're saying, though, that
situation that I'm going to take the Dragon's Breath over the Gjallarhorn.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There just isn't.
I can go a step further. There's no situation where I'll take the Dragon's Breath. There's too many other options out there that are better.
And some of them are legendary.
I'll take Hunger of Crota. You know what I mean? Even if you compare it against like a legendary, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Gjallarhorn, it's like you can't really compare other rocket launchers to the Gjallarhorn.
It's the best weapon in the game.
The Wolf Amazing. Pack rounds put it over the top. But I mean, it's a disappointment, you know? I mean, it looks cool when you have it on your back. There's like smoke that comes out. Like, the whole concept of the weapon is really awesome, but I feel like it needs a slight buff to kind of make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tracking. Give it tracking and have the bombs cluster or something. So, like, I mean, that'd be kind of neat. Just do something different.
Yeah.
Make the explosion a little larger. And
yeah. There's things they could do to make it better.
It's, okay. Necrochasm.
I'm sorry, but that gun pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It pisses me the hell off.
So what did we get with Atheon?
So we got the Vex. And the Vex was awesome. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was overpowered and rightfully so, right?
It's still awesome though, even though it's been nerfed.
You got nerfed and then it got a slight buff because they nerfed it too hard because it was flooded with, you know, all over. Everyone had it because of the exploits. But like the Necro is the new hard raid exotic weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should be amazing, should be awesome. You go through multiple steps in order to build up to actually getting this gun, right?
Yeah.
You have to get the Husk of the Pit,
yep.
And then you eventually do all these things, and then you can plug in the Crux, right?
Well, and we have admired that process on the show.
It's an
awesome process. This is a good idea.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's an awesome it's an awesome process. It does take a while. Got the Crux, plugged it in. And that gun is absolute trash.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
Okay, so some context. What makes it trash? Just low damage?
Well, first of all, I already thought to myself, like, okay, max fire rate for any AR so far has been really bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Dr. Nope, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Max AR
Dr.
is
Nope
really
as
bad.
In Nope, don't use this.
And, like, so max fire rate, and then it has, like, virtually no impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tickle machine.
The bonus is that like, they explode
Jesus.
Like exploding thralls. You know, that's the perk that it gets. But we did an analysis of this earlier
we
in the
have
week.
A video
if you
want
to see a full breakdown, the weapon really is bad because you equip a Fatebringer, it puts it to shame.
Yeah, so the video that we recorded, we tried it out in PvE. We tried it out in the intro part of the raid, and then we tried it out in PvP. Mm-hmm. Like. The intro part of the raid, take a Fatebringer, man. Like, you hit someone in the head, they're going to explode.
Yeah.
Then, PvP, it's just horrible.
No, just, you would never equip that.
It doesn't DPS fast enough,
mm-hmm.
right? And then maybe in PvE, if you just want to,
I don't know.
You just want to have fun with it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, that gun is absolute trash, and it pisses me off. Sorry, everyone watching. It's just, it sucks because, like, that is supposed to be something that all the Guardians are, you know what I mean? They're raiding for, they're hoping for. Like, that is, like, the new, like.
It was the hype.
Yeah.
It's
absolute garbage.
Okay.
All I can say about Fourth Horseman, moving on to the shotgun, this is the PlayStation exclusive, is it looks nice. It's four rounds. It's auto fire. It's an invective. It's basically an invective. Same, very close to the same stats. It's just, there's nothing special about it. There's no, you're not like, oh, I have an invective, but oh man, I really, really want that fourth horseman. You know, no. Like you get it, you're like, oh, that's cool. I'll put it in my vault with all my other exotics I don't use. You know, there's nothing special about that gun.
So then the core complaint here sounds like, and I want to kind of maybe paint the picture for folks. Is it then that, with Destiny being a game that has so many moving parts and so many exotics and so many legendaries and so many options, when new weapons get introduced into the fold, some of them should have some impact. And it seems like this batch, for the most part, did not have a profound impact in some ways. And it doesn't even have to be profound. It just has to be at least in the tier somewhere.
Yeah.
Higher tier, we would hope.
And Destiny is a constantly changing and evolving game. So at any moment, they could just be like, all right, we're buffing all these weapons, right? Mm-hmm. So always make, you know, if you have it, keep it, store it. Yeah.
Even the current raid purples, like, I'm not excited to get them. There's nothing out there that I'm like, oh, man, that's really cool. There's no Fatebringer. There's no Vision of Confluence, you know.
Well, the Fang is not too bad.
Fang
yeah.
Viriut?
Yeah. Yeah, that can come really... Mm-hmm. That can come in handy for the next raid.
So word of Crota still is below the Fatebringer, even though Fatebringer isn't that
Goth cathed? Was saying it's only like 2% more damage.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fatebringer does have those like those rounds that combust.
That's right.
So
my two favorite weapons in the game are Fatebringer and Vision of Confluence, you know, for primaries anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just sad that those are 300s because I still use them. Because yeah. they're still better than yeah. most of the stuff we've
I mean,
been
the
given.
AR isn't too bad, and it does stun knights and everything, mm-hmm. but, like, during the final part in Crota, if the knight comes out, I'd rather take, like, Vision or the Fang. Those are the scout rifles. I'd rather take that because then I could take out the witch, and then I could focus on boomers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it'll be more efficient to use a scout at that mm-hmm. point.
All right. Well, what do you think of Destiny Dark Below's exotics? Why don't you write in to destiny@ign.com. Let us know what you think. Are they a disappointment or are they legitimate? Like, let us know. Give us your feedback. Maybe we'll read a few of those emails on the next episode.
Yeah.
Let's make this our last topic because it does tie into the one okay. we were trying to plan after that. So... the Dark Below has been out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crota Hard Mode just happened, what, 2 weeks ago? Roughly.
It's almost two weeks.
Is it time, if you've done all those things, is it time to take a break from Destiny? Is now the time to say, all right, well, let's do something else. Let's play other games and come back.
And for just in my opinion, unless you're new to Destiny, I 100% believe you should take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe come back daily for a quick bounty or two, but you should take a break. You'll burn yourself out. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Here's another advantage to taking a break. It's going to make March all that more rewarding. You know, there's yeah. going to be more left for you to do. Like, I have 2 32s now. There's one other guy that can be 32. Maybe I'll run the raid a little bit more, but there's not a lot of desire to go back. I'm going to be playing very casually now until March.
Yeah, and with March, you mean that's
when we believe House of Wolves.
House of Wolves will happen, yeah. and yeah. we don't know if there'll be another Queen's Bounty between now and then. But yeah. if that were to show up, that would be another good reason to come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe come back for an event, right? Like yeah. Iron Banner. But yeah,
there's nothing I need from those events though. I mean,
they had some gloves and Iron Banner.
Am I going to invest a week worth of time to get a pair of gloves that I get as a drop in a raid that I haven't played yet? You know?
That's fair.
I feel like there's, you know, there are other games out there to play right now. You know, take advantage of that. That way you don't get so burnt out in Destiny. Like, I stream Destiny every single night pretty much since the game came out. Mm-hmm. So I've lasted pretty long, but, like, I'm officially, like, burnt out. And I mean, like, I will return.
Yeah.
That I know for sure. But right now, I'm just like, I'm hooked on other games like Smite. So I'm just like,
Dying Light.
I just want to stream something else.
Yeah. Sure. So
we're not saying we're giving up the podcast, by the way.
No. This is not code for that at all.
We're still doing the podcast.
So
we
we're
still
just feeling a little.
Destiny. It's just, hey, like, I play this
I've done
game
everything.
6 hours every night for like months on end. Like, I need to, you know, just take a step back a little.
So I decided to take a break this week, and I mentioned it at the top of the show, but it was mostly out of frustration. So last week, or, you know, whenever Crota Hard Mode showed up, we took some time, but then we put together a group. We jumped in. Now, for full context, I was the only 31 in that group.
Mm-hmm.
The entire group was comprised of 32s.
Okay.
My fire team knew going in. They were like, "No, we still want you here. It's totally fine."
It's
like,
31's not that bad.
Yeah, only one 31 in the group. That's not that bad. And to be fair, especially during the Crota encounter, I was not dying on a regular basis. Like, I would say I would die like 2% of
legit
the time.
31 mm-hmm. over here.
Yeah.
This guy.
Legit. So it wasn't that... the frustration had nothing to do with the amount of times, like, especially in the Abyss, I was the squishiest guy in the room, by the way. It was just absolutely awful.
Yeah.
But whatever, let's move past that. In the final fight with Crota, the number of glitches in the raid were driving us up a wall. I'm talking about, more than any other time I've ever run Crota's End. Knights just running through into the summoning chamber before the barriers come down. We call those YOLO knights, by the way, because they just straight up run in. They're like, YOLO, and they chop.
That's not a glitch, though.
Through the barrier? Dustin?
I mean, the
barriers are still up.
The witches do in the previous segment. I mean, that's how you pull them out, right? They come through that. So yeah, enemies can go.
But you're trapped in a small room with that thing. Like, that's not cool.
It's true. I don't think, like, okay, game-wise, they should have made it like that.
Okay, so that was happening on a regular basis. We had a time where we DPS'd Trotus Shield, mm-hmm. and he was starting the animation to take a knee.
I've seen this
one. A few seconds into that animation, he decided to stand straight up, chop the sword bearer, and then take a knee.
Yeah.
Okay. That one's very strange. When he's enraged, he gets up and chops.
Yeah, and it wasn't enraged. Okay. This was still early in that portion.
Yeah.
We had a boomer from the two towers. So, you know, the current ogre strategy on Crota's End is to run over where the ogre spawns, essentially. On One of the strategies.
Yeah.
Hang out over the door like you would with Ir Yute, where you'd like, you know, you'd hop up to the ledge above the door frame.
Yeah.
And you just kill the ogre, the first ogre, as it comes out, either on the right or on the left. We usually pick the right side. Mm-hmm. We got that right. A boomer shot through the floor and killed one of my fire teammates. What
my friend, Scott said that they were in that same area and then just it just rained boomers on them.
I understand that all synchronizing all of the event all of the events that are happening in the raid with six different places in the world, because we all, I mean, most of my friends are in Seattle. There's a couple of us spread out. We have a couple of friends even on the East Coast. We're all participating in the same raid. Mm-hmm. I get that networking is hard. But the number of glitches in Crota Hard Mode that we encounter.
You're forgetting the biggest one.
Which one?
Yeah.
It's when, and this kills our speedruns all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The sword just disappears.
Oh, yes. That happened to us too.
That happens to everybody often.
Wow. Yeah. Like, we'll be on like a sub 15 minute run and then the sword just disappeared and we're like, well, there that
goes. Like you do the whole pickup animation and it's just like, okay, pick it up. Nope, nothing happened, sorry guys.
So that's disappointing.
I will admit that we could do better in terms of gear to you know, restore health. I think that that's an area that our team definitely needs improvement
Suros,
in.
Red Dead, exactly.
Like, I will admit that there were even times where we were mid, we were in the middle of teamwork and mistakes happen. That's part of team building. That's part of teamwork. But by Monday night at midnight, like, all of a sudden, I'm taking a break from this because this is absolutely brutal. And this, I don't want to see the argument as we weren't ready because when we, the number of glitches we saw and with the amount of frequency, it was frustrating to the point where even when we got it right,
the
Crota
encounter itself is hard, right?
Yeah.
And even if you want to get it down efficiently, you have to still be, you know, really in sync with your fire team. You toss random glitches into that, like, you know, a handful of them that could happen at any moment.
Yeah. Here and just lastly, sorry to wrap some of this, there's still glitches in Vault of Glass. You can still get the portal glitch. Like, I just feel like the raid right now, which is the best part. The best part of the game that we love to talk about all the time for the most part is the raid. And
they've
said great things about it on the show. But it can be really frustrating when things don't go right because of cheese. Cheese works both ways. Why do you think people want to cheese? When things like this happen, of course they're going to find ways to cheese.
And I think it's really it's something that they should address immediately, right? Because then you have the people who are the tryhards, right? They're just going to keep trying no matter what. They're like, oh, this happens. But then you have people who casually just raid once a week, right? And they have a hard time finding a fire team in the first place. And then they run into all these issues.
The craziest glitch I saw on Crota's End was I came into this game, just somebody on my friends list, and I hopped in, and everybody died, so it was a wipe. Everybody restarts, and the crystal was not there. Like, I don't think we could replicate this, but the crystal was not there at all. So I'm like, what the heck? And, like, I jumped down in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
And, The knights were there and everything. I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I have never seen anything like this. It was just such a strange way to come into a raid.
No, so that's my excuse right now for taking a break. I did not play again until last night. I'm going to contact my team and see if they want to start picking this up, although this is a bad weekend to do it.
I want
to
play Vault.
And and that's the thing. Then I went to Vault on normal, got Hawk Moon, and I was like, okay, sure. I'll take it, RNGesus.
Why not?
Let me have it. Yeah, why not?
As I say that, I'm going to be taking a break from Destiny. My one friend just hits up in the team cake and says, hey, Crota hard rate speed runs now?
And you're okay. Like, sigh. Yeah, so it might be a good idea if you have been putting in a lot of time. And I will admit, I have been. I definitely know you two have, although yeah. You had some time off. So it seems like you're going to stick around.
I've only played a couple of times this week, but okay. I think we're going to start doing hard mode speed runs. So
Yeah. Okay. Again,
I
that
have
doesn't
five
mean...
exotics left to get. Five.
Really? Will it fit in your vault?
No. The Fourth Horseman, the Necrochasm are two of them, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And then Hawkmoon, Mida Multitool. I can't remember the other one. I don't really want them. Oh, Suros. I never got Suros. Or Monte Carlo, actually, so there's six.
Oh, dude, I'm getting Monte Carlos all the time. Just roll with me. I've gotten, like, four Monte Carlos.
Yeah.
Yeah. As exotic drops.
Well, I don't really want any of those, though. Okay. So. Well, I kind of want Suros now for the health regen, but...
Yeah. Suros is nice. It's still an efficient gun.
Yeah, don't buy the wrong thing when he sells it next time.
But he doesn't deserve any way back, and he...
I'm over that, by the way.
Yeah, the wrong thing. And then never got a Suros ever since.
No, really? I never got it as a drop. No, never.
He was like, all right, guys, I'm going to, we're doing the Zerv video. He's like, oh, I'm going to buy my Suros. Oh, no. And he bought like
the worst Hunter chest piece of the time.
Yeah, like the raspberry.
No. I got Chest of Alpha Lupi, which turned out to be okay.
No, that's a good chest piece.
But at the time, it wasn't.
He bought that instead of the Suros.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Another episode of Fireteam Chat. And let me tell you, this last topic does not mean we're going away.
No.
Yeah. We actually have a really cool guest for next week that we're not going to say who.
Yep. Mm.
Hopefully
we have
that
a lot of
through.
Cool guests lined up. And we can't thank you guys enough for all the support that you guys give us with this podcast.
Like, absolutely.
Number one on iTunes still currently, right?
Yeah. No, we've been getting a lot of good feedback. Folks have been emailing, sending in sort of their stories and their experience. And they seem to be genuinely excited about having a show that's discussing some of this stuff. Yeah. And just a reminder for folks, even when we kind of bring up the complaints and the issues and the things that bug us about the game.
We still love this game.
Yeah, we're still here for the most part until at least one of us finally rages and leaves.
Well, Destin's raged and left a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I just need a few days to not play, and then you come back and you're like, all right.
It's like that with any game,
I'll do some raids.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to reuniting with my squad, though, and seeing if we can do it again. Hopefully, if those guys are listening, we'll be doing that real soon. Please. In case I haven't texted you.
Well, good luck, Jose.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Fireteam Chat. We are a weekly podcast experiment at IGN.
Yeah,
and I say that because for now we are.
No, we're weekly and we're not an experiment anymore.
Yeah. Okay. But and we thank you for all of your support. You can support the show in a couple of ways. You can write in some topics or suggestions or even answer the question like, hey, how about those Dark Below exotics? What did you think? Write into destiny@IGN.com. Let us know what you think. Also, send us feedback. Let us know basically what you want to see. Yes, we are a half-hour show. We have heard the voices who wanted an hour to be continued. Let's see what happens in the future. For right now, we are very, very excited with the positive reception, but it's not quite enough to push for the hour yet. So just keep listening, keep supporting. Maybe that time will come.
Yeah.
Cool. So you can find Destin Legere on Twitter at
Destin Legere, DestinLegarie.
Ooh.
You can find Alfredo at
The Alfredo Plays.
And you guys also stream on Twitch. Where do they find you there if they want to watch that?
Same thing. Twitch.tv/DestinLegere.
Twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays.
And you can find only on Twitter and nowhere else.
Yeah.
That's right. Jose_Otero. Thank you very much for listening, Guardians. And we'll be back next week with more Fireteam Chat.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it.
or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.